The politics of our nation.
They have that right to protest. You know, there is no need to go there and now start shooting.
The current affairs of our state.
Everywhere we have gone to, the dirt of Abuja is not on the surface.
All at your fingertips on your Let's Talk Nation.
95.1.
Nigeria
Info. Let's Talk.
Let's Talk on 95.1.
Nigeria Info.
Abuja.
All right, so that's how it's been today on the sunny side. After that commercial, we have to go. And up next is Hard Facts. I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you.
Just to quickly respond to Okorocha and Uzodinma.
Name them and
change them once and for all. Now says he doesn't want to join issues with Okorocha.
Kaduna is closer to Abuja than Sambisa Forest.
Follow the stories that break the news and stories that make great news.
The morale of the troops must be sustained.
Let's Talk.
Please, they should do the needful. Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
This is Nigeria Info.
So tight, coming closer. It's been a hell of a ride. remind that whenever I'm broken, you make me feel whenever I'm lonely, you're there for my soul. Wherever you are, girl, that's where I call my own. Whenever you doubt it, I'll be letting you know. Oh, girl, I want to be dancing with you forever. You see through the storm and take me as I am. Baby, it's magic every time that we're together. I'll make a dream of you and hold you for my hand. Hold you for my hand.
Just to give you a response to Okorocha and Uzodinma.
Name them and shake them once and for all.
Now says he doesn't want to join issues with Okorocha.
Kaduna is closer to Abuja than Sandika Forest.
Follow the stories that break the news and stories that make great news.
The morale of the troops must be sustained.
Let's talk.
Please, they should do the needful. Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
This is Nigeria Info.
Glaring. It's point blank.
It's better to have little that the blessings of God than to have much more that there's no blessings of God.
But people need to see, know, and hear.
When you return that money, you hear the message.
Whatever is not yours, even if you kill yourself, it cannot come. That's my opinion.
So do share the facts on Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts. With Kimberly, 3 to 6 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Alrighty, good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info, and this is where we officially welcome you to Hard Facts. Yes, for the next 4 hours, it will be Hard Facts. Why is it hard? Well, you know, you start off the show looking at some of the big stories driving conversation in Nigeria. What do you expect? Intensity, yeah? Well, you get a bit of that on the show, and other very interesting conversation, very topical conversations also that we look at on the show. We try to take things easy at some point in time though, but it'll be great to be packed, it'll be filled with a lot of informative, educative conversation, and I'm sure you're going to tag with me from now to the end of the show. My name is Kimberly Nwachukwu. Call me Kim, you're correct. If you call me the Oracle, I'll say okay. If you call me the Fellow, you're still on point. If you say OTF, it's still pretty much in order. No constitutional breach. All right? So make sure you're a part of the show from now to finish. Contribute, call us, and share your thoughts via WhatsApp. I'll truly appreciate that. Suleiman from Gwarinpa. Suleiman wants to be my new hype man. I mean, we saw Governor Wike with his hype man yesterday. As he did say, no, as he did sweet them, as he did sweet us, as he did paint them, as they see us for TV and all of that. So everybody needs a hype man to make everything look festive, even if you're dissing someone. But yes, it's Wednesday. For those asking, I see all of you. Dr. Majid is in the building. He is here. He is seated. And to show you how much he really wants to be here, he's had a long day, tired, but said, you know what, I just have to be here nonetheless.
The Oracle.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
I appreciate you for making it.
Thank you very much.
You know, even when you said you were tired, I can really understand. Some days I can really get tired and wish someone would just tell me, you know what, don't even come to work at all.
Honestly.
And to be here to talk about Niger, we appreciate it, Doug.
Thank you very much.
Just so you know, Majid Zahiru is a researcher, he's a columnist, and is the tech team leader at Luxterra Leadership Foundation. And he'll be helping us look at some of the big stories today. So by saying, welcome, Dr. Majid. We truly appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
And now, hot or hard facts, laughing, dancing. Mm-hmm. Doctor in the building. Yes, he's here.
With the Oracle.
And then he's hailing OTS. Suleiman from Gwarinpa says he's my unofficial hype man. Yeah, I feel like you do a good job. Lawrence from Meitama says, God bless you for real good for jamming this song, Burna Boy, featuring Ed Sheeran. I used to think that I'm the only one on the side that is always vibing to this song. It's one of my all-time favorite, but it was Swad that played it. And I actually told her, you played my favorite song already, for now. We're expecting our own Dr. Majid. He's here. I already mentioned it. All right? I mentioned it. Welcome, so I'm fully tuned in, KD on my way. Dr. Majid, we welcome you, we love you, and all of that.
Thank you very much, we love you too.
Yes. All right, so we hear that at least, is it 7 more of those who were abducted, the Kaduna Abuja train, have regained their freedom. If it's ransom or release, we do not have all of the detail, but we know that 7 more people apparently at this moment walking free and will be opportune to meet with their families, their loved ones, significant others, and perhaps just sleep in their bed. You know, sometimes we forget to count these little blessings.
Yes.
When you sleep on your own bed, no matter how fluffy or hard it is.
Yes.
It's your bed. It's your house. Bed. You drink your garlic.
Even if you sleep in the best of hotels.
Exactly.
There's something about your own bed, you know, that makes it so, you know, so irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nowhere like home, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, for people that have been sleeping under the tree in the wild with rodents, with reptiles, under the rain, under the sun, to be back home, it's like actually dying and come back to life. Mm-hmm. That's what this experience actually means for a lot of people, and particularly for someone like me,
mm-hmm.
that have been a victim.
Mm-hmm.
It's like actually dying and come back to life.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because when you are in the den of the abductors, you are not even sure if you come out alive. Because apart from outrightly pulling the trigger to kill you, the condition under which you live is enough to kill you.
Mm.
Yes. The anxiety, because sometimes they are irrational.
Well, yeah.
You don't know what.
I mean, these are not people who work with any laid down rules and regulations to say, okay, we're not
going
to
trigger a wrong button somewhere and mass execution can take place. So this anxiety can even kill somebody. So it's always good to have them back. We thank God for their lives. And we hope that others will be released or rescued, as the case may be, before long. So it's really a cheering news.
Indeed, it is. We're so really happy to hear that more of them have been released and still praying and hoping that others will find their freedom. The terrorists that attacked the AK-9 Abuja Kaduna train passengers on the 28th of March have released another 7 hostages, including a family of 6.
6.
And a woman, like the entire family on the train, they carried all of them.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, if you know what this means, a family of 6 have been living in the wilderness for how many months now? More than 4 months?
Yeah.
So I don't know whether they will recover from this trauma, because the bonds of family, I mean, what a mother represents to her children, what children also mean to their mothers, may have been altered a bit, because you are a captive. So you've seen, you know, that strong woman who is like, you know, that strong arm that wraps you, that wraps around you and all of that, gives you the comfort you need. In distress herself, being controlled by people, you know, your life is like you are a slave for 4 months, you know. I don't know. So most of these families will have to go through, you know, healing.
I mean, the post-traumatic stress that comes with this, the disorder that comes with it, I hope we're also considering for all of these people, because I cannot imagine.
I spent just 3 nights with kidnappers before I was released after paying ransom.
Wow.
And believe you me, up till now, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm unable to sleep, because that flash, some of the horrifying scenes, sometimes when one of it just flashes through your subconscious, it keeps you awake for the rest of the night. Just and my own abductors were, you know, small time. They're not so, they're not like this, you know. These ones that are responsible for the Kaduna Kaduna Abuja train attack. These were just, you know, the regular bandits around town, and I'm suffering that, you know, that trauma. This is almost 6 years now, because mine was in 2016.
Wow.
So imagine somebody has been there for 4 months. So may not actually require from it. So the community, their families, and maybe the state, since the state couldn't actually do much to get them released, maybe they can actually come in to help. You know, help them to recover and stabilize their,
and the life.
Yeah, stabilize their psychological well-being.
Mm.
In any case, you know, at Luxor, I also do some of these things too.
Okay.
But one of our cardinal programs is trauma healing sessions for people that have been victims of violence, especially from the Northeast. You know, they come to Abuja and they spend a lot of time with experts and those who are into these things. And we give them so-called, we help them to recover from the trauma. People are traumatized. Really.
I can imagine. I was traumatized. I saw the video. I was not one of them, but I saw the video where they were flogging some of them, and I wasn't balanced.
Yeah. So it's not easy. So, in any case, let's see. Maybe wherever we can help too at our own level, we can help the family members and see if somebody can come for these programs. But it will entail them going from Kaduna to Abuja. I don't know how. I hope on that second journey to Jerusalem,
I pretty much doubt it. They want to stay put where they are at the moment. Oh dear. Oh well, the identities of the released family of six: Abubakar Idris Garba, his wife Miriam Abubakar Bobo, and their elder son Ibrahim Abubakar Garba, who is 10. Others include Fatima Abubakar Garba, 7, Imra Abubakar Garba, 5, and the younger Zainab Abubakar Garba, who is only 1.5 years old.
Hmm.
Abubakar Idris Garba is staff of the National Assembly Service Commission, is the son of the former military administrator of Kano and Benue State. Also released a 60-year-old woman, one Hajia Aisha Hassan, who was said to have been released due to life-threatening health challenges that deteriorated recently. Although Tukur Mamu, publisher of Kaduna based Desert Herald and media consultant to the cleric Sheikh Gumi, withdrew as one of the negotiators, he confirmed the release of the seven hostages to journalists in Kaduna and said the seven were released following the intervention of his principal, Gumi. According to a statement by Mamu, disturbed by the flogging of the hostages, Gumi, for the first time in 4 months of the abduction, reached out to the terrorists with a message of Allah to consider the release of the poor children and their innocent parents. And he said through their captivity in the hands of the terrorists, neither the National Assembly Commission nor the members of the National Assembly intervened for the staff of the commission and his family. Mamu, however, noted that with the effort of Sheikh Gumi and the support of his 7 senators from the north, the family of six regained their freedom. They put it out in the statement there. No detail as to what compensation went to getting them released, but apparently effort were put.
Yes.
It can translate to anything.
Of course, and the most important thing is that they're out.
They're out, that's the most important.
Yes.
And just imagine with all of those children, how...
I mean, a father and a mother and her and their children, So I, that family actually needs a lot of help because the children would have been given a different configuration, psychologically speaking. Because, I mean, a father loses that mystique around him when he's helpless with his children in the hands of doctors. Ordinarily, some fathers would rather die than be dishonored before their children. Okay. So, but these children have witnessed their father, their mother being dishonored. This is something that will linger on for the rest of their lives. Yes, because you've seen the other side of your parents who are supposed to be your heroes in the hands of villains who have reduced them to helplessness. So, honestly, this is something nobody should wish for, even your own enemy. Yes. And, well, for the effort that Shegumi made, according to the statement, that Gumi had to intervene to get them out, well, we commend him. Even if I may not always agree with some of his views that tend to project people as freedom fighters or fighting a new real cause. For what it is worth, since the government has not been able to rescue our fellow countrymen and women and children in the hands of this terrorist, and he's able to do so, fine. But why he's able to do so is a completely different topic for another day. But the most important thing is, well, what it is worth, people are out of the wilderness and back home. But when the case of the 80-year-old man, it's been one that I've been thinking about. How can you keep... How did the woman survive that long under such conditions? It's even something that we also need to thank God for. It's not easy.
Really?
Yes.
And something also we're also looking forward to getting more details, since the defense chief said that those behind the Owo Church attack have been captured. Even though we don't have all of the details, and the investigation is still underway, fingers are crossed to seeing how they got these people, the identity, the motive of these people. One we really want to know.
It's very important. And first, let me also commend the service chiefs, our officers and men of the armed forces under the leadership of General Lucky Rabo. And of course, we also extend this to the president, because the buck stops on this.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever they fail to do some of these things, of course, we condemn their inability to do it, starting from the president. Now, we also need to give this credit also to the president, because this was an attack on the church. It is one of the worst terrorist attacks in Nigerian history. People went to a church and opened fire, killing over 50 people. Right? And that crime, that terrorist attack has been resolved somewhat, but at least this is an effort that people have been arrested and they are going to prosecute. So it gives me a bit of satisfaction that, okay, maybe something is still being done. We're only calling on the authorities to do more. And do more, extend this thing. What why it took you guys to fish out these people? Please. Extend this to other theaters of conflict, particularly in the Northwest. I still don't understand why it is difficult to crack the terror network in the Northwest. Because what happened in Owo is even is much more difficult to crack, because this was not a bandit attack. It was a pure terrorist attack. And let me say this. I'm not too surprised by the revelations by the Chief of Defense Staff. No. If you recall, when this attack took place, there were insinuations that could be the regular headsman attack around that, you know. And
as a matter of fact, there were some people speculating that they were, based on some eyewitness account.
But, I also remember that the Tuesday following that attack, I was on my regular show on TV, and I made the point clear that this was not a headsman attack, that this was ISWAP. What I said, the people were surprised. How? This was an ISWAP attack. You see, that's why it's good to appropriately label criminal activities or terrorist activities alongside the identities of the perpetrators, so that you'll be able to understand the pattern of each of these crime or terrorist attacks. I say this because if you look at a typical incident in the Southeast that involves ESN or IPOB, it's easy to, you can easily put one and two together. Okay, this is most likely something on a Monday.
Oh, okay. Let's.
This is Nigeria Info.
My info.
still here with Dr. Majid Dahiru on the round table. And yes, Majid, you're going to build on...
You see, all over the world, crime, terrorism, killing, violence of any form is usually reported by the media in a standard manner that first identifies the victims, their ethnicities, religious groups, geography of origin, and sometimes even race, and as well as those of the perpetrators. You know, it allows you to understand one, the motive, and then the pattern of the crime, so that you can resolve it. I'll give an example. Yesterday, or was it 2 days ago, I was watching a news item on Al Jazeera, and they discovered that in the state of New Mexico in the U.S., in about three or four months, five Muslim people have been shot dead mysteriously in that state. The governor has raised the red flag now to say this must be a hate crime motivated by religious hate by of this particular religious group, and that everything should now be done to unravel this mystery. Why did they arrive at this conclusion? Because they appropriately identify the pattern of victims among a particular religious grouping. And so they are beginning to expand the brand to see who is there, anybody who has something against this demography and why. That's how you solve crime. Remember the shootings in the mosque in New Zealand? It was one of that particular perpetrator had, you know, an orientation towards, you know, hate for people of other faith other than his own. So it's important to understand the motive behind it. So it's important to, you know, appropriately, I use the word appropriately, label criminals. Not because we want to profile any ethnic group, but because we want to find out the motive, the pattern, and why it is occurring among this demography. That's why I have been one of those who hear me use words like Fulani bandits, Igbo IPOB, things like that. It's not because everyone knows not every Fulani man can be a bandit. It's not possible. Not everyone belongs to ESN, any of such other groups. Now, in the case of Ondo, it's interesting because it affects my own ethnic group.
It's quite interesting, Majid, that you even talk about your ethnic group. Because, you know, the name like Idris Ojo has been all over the place. Pictures put out saying that, if he broke out from Kuje prison.
There's a misunderstanding here.
We need a clarification from the authorities when we get there.
It doesn't even really need much clarification. What he said is simple. We've been able to crack those who attacked the church. In addition to also picking up one of those who escaped from Kuje, who belongs to ISWAP. And that alongside the other people that they arrested, all of them belong to the ISWAP terror network. I don't know why anybody is trying to make an issue out of this. And this one was picked up in Ondo. You know, the man didn't give all of the details. He said, look, this other escaping from Kuje was picked up from Ondo. These other ones were arrested in Kogi, in their own original homeland. And that somebody hosted them in Ondo before they carried out the attack on the church. Meaning, the presence of the escapee from Kuje, who is an ISWAP member in Ondo, indicates that they have collaborators in that town who gave hosting rights to these other ones from the diaspora to come there and carry out an attack. That's what the man simply explained. So, there's no confusion. Absolutely not. I understand this whole issue very well. Like I said, it really happened. I knew it was an ISWAP kind of attack. You see, herdsmen don't go to church to kill people. Except there is a clear-cut communal crisis between maybe certain former communities and it's a different matter. But somebody just walking to the church in that particular kind of location to gun down people. It's not herdsmen don't do that kind of attack. But you say herdsmen attack or those that you think are killer herdsmen, I'll tell how they do their own. Look, they stand on the highways. Simple. They open fire on moving vehicles. Anybody who survives, you are lucky. They pick you and they walk you into the forest. So because the herdsman by his nature...
But aren't they the same one who go to schools and remove people from there? So
particularly in the northwest and areas that are contiguous to their own part of the country. And because these places are largely ungoverned, so they walk long distances to those places and then abduct school children. And when you see killer have an attack, it usually comes with abduction for ransom. And they call, you've seen it all over from Kagara to Kankara to this and that. You see the pattern. Now, but this particular group is not so interested in ransom or kidnapping of anybody. What they simply did was It's a hate crime, hate terrorist crime. You see, I don't have to, I want to muzzle all the words together. It's based on religious hatred for people of other faith other than yours. Something I've been talking about here for a long time. And so, it is part of the calling of Israel to exterminate people of other faiths. It's something we must understand. It's part of it. That's why you saw them in some time past killing, you know, beheading people. And that's why some leadership of the, a certain leadership of the Christian body in Nigeria made the point that ISWAP is targeting Christians. It is true. ISWAP targets Christians. Not much you live in denial of that. It is true. They do. And so when it happened, I said, look, this was similar to what happened in Okene in 2013. When Deeper Life Church was attacked, people went to the church and shot people dead. And people blamed on politicians. And I said, no. No politician has an interest in going to church to kill anybody. Mm. Politicians carry out violence during the election, hungry, starting a ballot box, and killing of opponents. But somebody goes into a church to kill people. It does not feel political. This is religious. It's a religious motivated hate crime that Boko Haram have been doing in this country since 2010. And this one faction has continued with it. So when this thing happened again, I wasn't surprised.
We also know that the military said it was attributed to ISWAP.
After about 3 or 4 days, by Thursday, they came up and said ISWAP.
Yeah.
But the statement was still, you know, when you have a fixated mindset on a particular group that you think must be responsible for such kind of crime, they said it was too hasty, it was too this, and I said no. This is ISWAP. Look, everybody, they have their own crime territory and how they perpetrate it. This is ISWAP. And the governor has come out to totally confirm what the defense headquarters has said. And he went a bit further to say, okay, members of the Ebira ethnic community in Ondo.
They were actually mostly from some of the names.
They were mostly from that demography. And let me say this clearly. Okene, since 2010, that Boko Haram started in Boronu, has been an outpost for Boko Haram and what you now call ISWAP. Yes.
Is the governor of the state aware of it?
And that is why we need to commend Governor Yabelo. You see, you can hate him for so many reasons. Mm. But I said it just severally. There's something you cannot take away from Yabelo. Yabelo as a political leader is devoid primarily of religious bigotry, even though he's a Muslim, a man of faith. He's also devoid of tribalism. Mm. So he's an excellent diversity manager as a leader. And so because he has been able to rise above this primordial sentiment of ethnicity and religion in the discharge of his duties as chief security officer of the state, Yabelo did one thing, immediately became governor. He admitted and identified that not only is there ISWAP and other terror cells in Kogi, that they are among his own kinsmen. So he took the war home immediately. He informed the authorities, informed the army, informed the police, the DSS, and he worked with them to make sure that he reduce them, neutralize them, and push them to the fringes of the society. Before Yabelo came, this same kind of attack has been happening in that part of the state for a long time. They target traditional rulers, traditional worshippers, Christian leaders. It's been happening. It's not something that is hidden. It's a known fact. But when he came, he admitted that this is a problem in my community, amongst my own people. Similarly, we also had another different criminal group that specialized in kidnapping for ransom. His own mother was a victim before he became governor. And so he dealt a heavy blow on all of these groups across the board. He did, because he admitted that my own people were involved. And so he passed a law first that anybody who is caught in this, your house will be demolished. Because that must have been built from proceeds of these criminal activities. He started his demolition from his own community, his own local government, amongst his own tribesmen. And so the rest of the state saw that this man meant business. And so they cooperated. So when he now went across the other parts of the state, people knew he was simply fighting crime, not fighting any ethnicity. You see, this is a leadership lesson that those that are ruling us in Nigeria must actually take a cue from. He was able to do that. Now, as a governor, he has limitations. You know, he has limitations because he doesn't really control the use of force, legitimate force per se. He can only collaborate. What I'm saying is, as a leader, he identified the problem. Yabelo consistently refused to allow for amnesty for any criminal. But there are 10 governors forum meeting in the north, or even across the country. Yabelo does not agree at any point in time that amnesty should be given to anybody. But there's something he did. In the case of the Fulani Killer Harassment Act problem, it was there in Kogi too. Former Aba Classic was also there. So there was something he did that was fantastic. He indigenized the Fulani community in Kogi. First, indigenized them. How? He granted them tutancy status up to top class level. So they are the elders, the Fulani elders, are members of the local government traditional council, as we speak. He also granted them land.
So that they feel like they belong here, they have a
state. He did that. And he made sure that whenever there is a clash between farmers and herders, the local government authorities, they adjudicate the matter in a way that does not discriminate against the Fulani because they are. So he was able to abolish the non-indigenous settler dichotomy. He did it effectively and made appointments across all ethnic groups. So what happened is the Fulani cattle breeders, peaceful, law-abiding citizens of Kogi, started collaborating with the state government to fish out the criminal elements among themselves. So they will give information to the authorities. So you just see police DSS driving peacefully into a Fulani settlement and just pick out the criminal among them. With the cooperation.
And I think there was also a special security outfit he set up at one point.
Vigilantes, yes.
Vigilantes, yes.
He did. So he did all of this. But like I said, there are limits to which he can do. Mm. But what he did, what he prevented in Kogi was the level of attacks in Kogi by Israel that we would have seen, he was able to neutralize it somewhat. So that's why there are actual attacks in neighboring states. But people that are perpetrating it actually came from, as rightly stated by the defense chief, from a community in Kogi that I also come from. And what I'm saying this is, Boko Haram, Iswap, radicalization is a product of consistent and systematic indoctrination over time. We saw that in my community. People were indoctrinated. Young people were made to believe that to do that, this that I've just done in a war, it's a religious duty that is incumbent upon you as a believer. So when you hear me talk about reversing the tendencies, the doctrinal embellishment in the Muslim religion that has resulted into this, I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking from experience. In fact, it will shock you to know that Abu Shekau came to Kenya twice to interact with his men in that part of the country. So that part of that the terror cell in Kogi and Okene was so important to the Boko Haram network across the country that Abu Shekau made trips to that part of the country twice. I'm saying this because this has exposed something that most people didn't know before. That's always been there. We as a people, as Kogites, as Ebira people, we must take a cue from what our governor is doing. You see, to defeat this ideology, this indoctrination, Ebira did something. He put a church in the government house. And as a Muslim governor, he attends church services. He attends activities of traditional religious worshippers. You know why? As a governor, you must not in any way betray preference for any of these. You see, this is part of leadership. And so psychologically, political Islam, that is directly responsible for this also, has taken a back seat in Kogi politics. Completely. Nobody sees religion that much. Or rather, it's not something that is in the mainstream anymore. So he was able to do this. But like I said, it is not just him alone. It requires the entire community now. The federal government.
But at least he led the way. He's the vanguard.
Yeah, is a fantastic guy when it comes to this aspect. You can't take it from him. Another one, he attempted to become president anyway, thinking that this is lacking at the center and that he has the capacity to do this. He has been abolished in the digital dichotomy in Kogi in just 4 years. By what? Where they say this social person cannot be counselor because he's not an indigenous, you're able to make you counselor then. If you cannot be chairman because you're not an indigenous, you make you chairman then. This new group is not indigenous, you carry that particular law and make him a recognized one. Simple. Appointment is empty. Igbo, Yoruba, everybody. All, if once you're a resident of Kogi, you have the national citizenship of that state. True and true. He did it. You may not like him for some other things, you know, but on this one, I thought Kogi was a bit stable and safe.
Yeah.
The propensity for communal crisis was in there. Look, I'll give you details. You see, in Kaduna, for example, the banditry and terrorism in Kaduna spread faster because there was this issue of communal crisis between the two groups.
Yeah.
So, these criminals hid behind that to perpetuate their criminality that has now engulfed both sides of the divide. But because in Kogi, the governor was able to use his leadership skills, particularly in the aspect of diversity management, to reduce that propensity for communal crisis. I didn't know until recently that there was a Bassa ethnic community in the heart of Ibira land. But an indigenous, I didn't know.
Basange
ethnic, ethnic group in the heart of Ibira. I didn't know until a land dispute arose. And so they said they had encroachment issue. And I'm like, so there's a Bassa ethnic group within us? They said yes. Okay. I'm not talking about the Najakuta. Inside, somewhere in a Davi local government of Ibira land. The commissioner for chieftaincy is an Ibira man. The governor is an Ibira man. The town of the council is an Ibira man. Do you know that they called a meeting between these two groups? Between the Ibiras and the Bassas. And asked the Ibiras not to encroach into the land for the Bassas. And they now upgraded the Bassa chief, took them in that place, to organize one that is now the member of the traditional council. As full-fledged indigenous, despite the minority status.
Wow.
So that saved that whole community from communal crisis. So the Basaman man is now feeling as a Davi as the Ibira man in that community. Now, in making this appointment, for example, if you look at Kogi today, his deputy governor, for example, is a Christian. His SSG is a Christian. The Speaker of the House is a Christian. Even the head of service is a Christian. If you compare this to Kabila, for example, where you have a particular group that is even in the majority, dominating these positions, you now understand why Kaduna is more volatile and less secure than Kogi. It's about leadership. I want to learn a thing or two from this. Ayabulo collaborated with the government of Ondo and the federal government to make this arrest happen. Because he wasn't shielding his own kinsmen or tribesmen or religious or co-religionists. No, that's not his problem. It's a criminal activity and must be dealt with. And the governor of Ondo highlighted the fact that the Ibira community, if you know very well, the Ibira community are Muslim farmers. Mm. They've been there for more than a century. Yes. And I know a lot of my kinsmen that were born in Ondo that are Ondo indigenous till tomorrow. They benefit from the scholarship. They claim Ondo. They bear Yoruba names. It's like we are one people. And they have not been known at all for any form of criminal activity. I remember when the governor of Ondo gave quick notice to herdsmen from the forest to leave. In trying to defend the governor, I said, ask nobody have asked the farmers to leave Ondo or leave the farmstead because no form of kidnapping takes place that involves them. Unfortunately, that trend has changed.
Oh dear.
As pointed out by the governor, that a number or two or so of kidnappings have been traced to Ibira farm settlement.
Oh,
and that police, they are not known for this. They should caution themselves and desist and make sure that this trend is reversed. I commend the government for that, and that advice must be heeded by everybody concerned. This thing sometimes seems to happen in Kano. It was quite at the time in Canada. Children were getting lost, getting missing children here and there. And they were not found. But it was quite that, okay, it was actually people living in the neighborhood. In this instance, a couple that were Igbo, they were looking to pastors, that you are responsible for this kidnapping. Because if I'm your neighbor, you feel free with me. My children can play into your house. And so you can go over to steal children and transport them to the southeast, where they were sold. What did the Igbo community do in Kano? They issued a statement condemning that action of their kinsmen, called on the authorities to bring them to justice, and cautioned others to say, don't participate in this and any other criminal activity. It is not in our own way and manner. Now, what does this tell you? If all of us are able to disown crime like this, all of us, if your kinsmen are caught in crime and you disown it and you stand with the authority to say, take relevant action without playing into the semantics of stop calling them Ibira people, stop calling them Fulani, stop calling them Igbo, profiling. No, I said no. This is strategic profiling. These are the facts as stated. So what is important is we need to now work with security agencies from Kogi down to Edo, Ondo, and Ekiti to make sure that this whole...
This tale is not spreading.
It's not spreading. If you didn't know they were from Okene or the Ibira, you will not now know what to now do about Okene to make sure that it doesn't spread from there. So the reality is the same role of indoctrination that you see in the northeast and northwest happened in Okene, unfortunately. It took a while, it germinated, it has sprouted, and it is spreading fast. So we need to continue, but the governor is doing fantastically well in this regard. The defense headquarters must engage with the governor. He has what it takes. He knows what it takes to make sure that this is defeated once and for all. So if they don't be taking the governor of Kogi seriously, this is the time to do so. And the governor of Ondo Kogi Ekiti Edo must collaborate down to even FCT minister here. Then to collaborate because we have a problem of this network in Kogi. But like I said, the governor was able to suppress it. They couldn't act within
the state.
It was difficult. He did a fantastic job. But maybe because Ondopu didn't quite know, we're unsuspecting rather. So it happened. Now that they have known, we need to make sure that all of us, particularly those of us are from this part of the country, we need to take this war home. We all need to denounce this. Nobody should. I've started seeing some inspirations in the social media that they're trying to give us a bad name. Nobody give me a bad name. Nobody has said that people are terrorists. But the terrorists are caught. Five of them are Ibira. That number is high enough to get you as an Ibira man concerned over this matter. So we need to be concerned enough to cooperate with the authorities, commend them even for discovering this, and make sure that from our homes, our communities, our farmsteads, our workshops, we make sure that we do not condone, tolerate, or cover up this criminal activity in our own interest. If we cover up and play the ostrich and begin to play games of semantics or ethnic profiling, as some other people have done before, this matter will grow while we're having that argument. This will grow, increase, and continue to do more. And we will become the biggest victim. The
biggest victim. Always.
I do not want Kenya to become another Borno. I don't want it. So we are saying this is true. There are elements of these people in my own community, amongst my kinsmen. And we must all collaborate and cooperate with the authorities to defeat it decisively.
Wow. Interesting. Refreshing to also hear the effort of the state government in dealing with the problem. Home front.
He's been fantastic. Even Yabulo himself cannot explain fully how he's doing this. But as a critical observer and a stakeholder, I'm aware of what his kind of leadership, an all-embracing, all-inclusive leadership that administers justice, fairness, and equity, what it can achieve in the politics. That's why you see me year in, year out, in all media platforms saying, until you have such a kind of leadership, you can't tackle insecurity. You cannot.
All right. Let's take some comments, and we have one more story to go through before we open up the phone lines. Lots of comments have come in already, Dr. Majid. Let's see here. Oh dear. Okay. You want to be Majid's hype man. He doesn't need one. welcome to Dr. Majid. Though I no longer... Who is talking about Burna Boy? Okay, because of the song. Oh dear. All right then. If Dr. Majid wasn't here, I would have changed the dial. Mr. Paul Egun. Oh, wow. Mr. Osher Cornelius from Life Camp. Hi, Nigeria Info. I can't hold my shop. Does it mean that the national security architecture is not modernized enough to identify the element and flush out of society? Like, seriously? There must be some kind of compromise somewhere. Only God knows. And David from Lewe says, good to know that some of the Abuja train victims have been released. The abductors initially said they didn't want ransom, that government knows what they want, but now collecting ransom? I'm confused, he said. And Uloma from Lube says, good afternoon, Mr. Majid. Nice to know you around. Would you sound... Okay. You sound a bit down. I don't think so. Onye Chere Uche from Abuja. I disagree with Majid on this one. Nigeria Army arrested mastermind of the Owo carnage and calling Ojo as a culprit. Owo massacre was carried out on the 5th of June. Kuje jailbreak took place in July. Idris Ojo was supposed to be in prison in June when the attack happened. Well, if you listened... They explained how he was there. Apparently, he
was
didn't
the culprit. They said that he's an ISWAP member who was found in Ondo, and the rest of people were arrested in Kogi. So it tells you that they had a presence in Ondo for this man to find his way to Ondo. That's why he came into the picture. Nobody said he was among those who went into the church, but he belonged to the group
of the people who went.
And let me tell you, why they were in prison. They are communicating. Something you must understand. You must know how did their members know that they were in Kogi to come there to free them in the first place? How? So, look this way, the army tells you something, they may not give you all of the details, but they know what they are saying. They know.
Franklin from Pape says, my Wednesdays are not usually complete without listening to the great and noble Majid. My question concerning the train victim that being released in batches is this. What happens, God forbid, if the last five victims are unable to come up with a ransom? And Aliyu from Dusey says... let your guest tell us about those behind the killing in the Owo church. Can he say it's also part of the Fulanization of Ebira? Abdul Majid should know that all he said about Okay, I doubt if your guest is okay. We're not going to bring our guest religion into it because he's picking up and out against some of the ills. Simon Ojo says, so Eyabelo had this much to give. Assuming we knew this much about him, just maybe. Simon Ojo, all right. M-Tex from Wuse 2, I totally disagree with the guests in the studio. Fulanis have agenda in this country, so Eyabelo giving them land and chieftaincy title makes it easy for that agenda. For my state, okay. Good afternoon, Dr. Majid. Thanks for always hitting the nail on the head. Please, can you let me know his social media handle? Osita in Tudumwada in Lube. Majid is on Facebook, uses Majid Dahiru. Congratulations on the release of the captive. So if I may ask, what criterias do the bandits apply to shift out those to release at any particular point? I wish our president and the governor of the state would borrow Yaya Bello's leadership template here. And Sunday from this, it says, I'm enjoying the program and listening a lot, learning a lot from you. But my question to your guest is this. In the long run, what happens to a state that shared their land with, say, okay, that give a part of their land to, for example, these Fulani headsmen, just for the sake of controlling and managing the crisis in the state? I want to know, do you think there will be a long-term implication for this? Your guest has spoken well. Yaya is trying the aspect of insecurity. Kudos to Emmanuel Issa Biazin across that one in. Dr. Majid well spoken. However, I want to ask, has the identity of the war massacre been unveiled? I heard him saying those behind the killing from the ISWAP faction, Sheyi from Kabusa Garden there. Let's take a call and go on a quick break. We'll be back to talk some more. Dr. Majid is still here with us. 0700-951-0000. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Kim.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and I greet Mr. Majid passionately.
Good afternoon, sir.
Is, hola, I'm calling from Lube.
Go ahead.
You know, very quickly, there are two things I actually speak from his conversation this afternoon. First of all, you know, he owned up to the fact that whether we want to beat about the bush or not, whether we want to hold up to it or not, ISWAP is against Christianity. You know, it's targeted against Christianity. And then they told me that I'm trying to preach for a particular religion. No, I'm not trying to say that there's righteousness or otherwise in Islam or in Christianity. But the fact is that it is established. Because some people will say, oh, we can't say that. That is just the truth. Then secondly, you see, whether one's like a Yahabelo or not, there are two things he has done that me, as a Nigerian, will never forget. First of all, he stands against the COVID treatment by the federal government. When he said, look, don't come and use my state for business, don't come here. And he stood his ground. He stood his ground for his own people. I will never forget him for that. And also for the way he has been...
All right, Ola.
...starting the majority, I want to appreciate it too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's hear another caller. Hello?
Hello, Tim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is Ali from this energy.
We're listening.
I think it's a very good opportunity for me to talk to you over there. Why did I say so? Because most of the time, Dr. Abdulmajid has been talking of our fulanization of Nigeria, Islamization of Nigeria. Why this crime is actually has nothing to do with Islamity? We are having criminals.
I think it's best that Majid, because you're putting words, saying he's talking about fulanization.
That you come here and tell me that I'm talking about fulanization and Islamization. It's so unfair. I don't know anything about using that word, either in literature
it's
or...
It's alright, one day sale. Buy Mulford 20-pack panty liners at 399 Naira, 99 kobo. And save! It's for one day only, 10th of August, 2022. Save more only at ShopRite.
Informative, exciting, and stimulating talk. Stimulating talk. Nigeria Info, your number one for talk. Number one for talk. Let's talk.
All right, sorry about that. So, the caller is still on. Hello?
So,
if you've been listening to Majid on this diet, and we have some of the off-air dub to prove that he's never used fulanization of Nigeria on this platform or anywhere that I'm aware of. So this is you making it up.
Kim, this is the first time I'm hearing your talking on your platform that Shekha has visited Koji. All this while, when I've been following his trend on this platform, when he will say, Islamic agenda, that Sumatanfojo, you know, trying to Islamatize Nigeria is the agenda that has been there before. This is Nigeria. For God's sake, we should be talking of what will unite us as a dividing us. As a doctor, I think...
Thank you very much. You've made your point. You've had your say. Let's hear the next caller. Hello?
Thank you. Kim, good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Thank you. My name is Emmanuel, official president.
1 minute.
Mr. Dr. Majid, I greet you. We are enjoying you and keep up the good work. No distraction can make you not to say the truth, even if it's against your religion or whatsoever. Let me just quickly say, insecurity is ravaging everywhere, and it's a collective responsibility as it stands now, that nobody should support what is evil. What is bad is bad, and what is good is good. So everybody should get up and say no to this insecurity. Thank you, Mr. Majid. God bless you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see another caller. Hello?
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good evening.
What's your name?
My name is Ahmed. I heard your guest, what you just said. And actually, my contribution is that why didn't they tell us this before the primary? And actually, there are young guys who can make it up in this country. But we always bring them out when it's too late. Hello?
We're listening. Keep talking. Hello? Your time is still on.
Uh-huh. And I've heard about Yaya Bello, and I was making my research about, because I'm tired of all these old politicians, to be frank, because they are the cause of our problem. And we always, Nigerians always like to dance to a particular group of people. We fail to realize that they are young. We have over 20-something parties, I think. But we only talk of...
18.
...parties. We only talk of three parties. There are young boys on those side of the parties, too. We need to look at their agendas and size them and, you know?
All right.
We can't just talk about APC.
All right, sir.
And the rest. It doesn't make sense.
Thank you very much. 18 parties that we recognize at the moment. Some of them have been deregistered already.
Yes, sir.
Apparently.
Yes.
Not doing much. God bless your guests. I always weep when I read this headline of our anthem, "To build a nation where peace and justice shall reign." Our problem will be half almost solved when justice is done and seem to be done in Nigeria. God bless Nigeria, he wrote. Let's take a quick break for the news and we'll be back with more. Stick around.
Let's talk about the biggest conversation, made of trustworthy ideas, passionately connected to everyone. Let's talk on Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
Nigeria Info.
Politics with security.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations,
made of trustworthy ideas,
passionately connected
to everyone.
Let's talk.
Let's talk on the Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
Informative, exciting, and stimulating talk.
Stimulating talk.
Nigeria Info.